Could everyone hear? Yes? It is not by ordinary good fortune even that which is attained by lifetimes of austerities, pious activities, giving in charity. It is only by the causeless mercy of the spiritual master and Lord Krishna that anyone can come to these holy places of Sri Braj Bhumi. If Srila Prabhupada had not sacrificed his life in his mission of divine compassion, if he hadn't inspired his faithful servants to distribute his books and preach all over the world, then beside a few people in India, no one would have known that Vrindavan even exists. But by his great love, we are gathered here together in this very special holy place, Chirgat. As you see, it is very remote in the deep interior of Braj Dham. Very rarely do pilgrims ever come here. I know many people who have been coming to Vrindavan 10, 20, 30, 50, 60, 70 years, never come to this place. What is, as you see, it is very remote in the deep interior of Braj Dham. Very rarely do pilgrims ever come here. I know many people who have been coming to Vrindavan 10, 20, 30, 50, 60, 70 years, never come to this place. What is our qualification? If we think we have qualification, that is our greatest disqualification. One time a devotee inquired from Srila Prabhupada, how is it coming from backgrounds of Malechas and Yavanas? We have Srimad Bhagavatam, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We're worshipping Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. What was our qualification? We do not understand. Srila Prabhupada said you had no qualifications. I made your qualifications. Simply because you accepted causeless mercy, you are given the opportunity. In this spirit, we can always remain very humble. That the causeless mercy of the Vaishnavas, the spiritual masters, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is my all in all. Everything else is an illusion. The false ego prevents us from entering into the mysteries of the nature of the soul. The soul is part of Krishna. Within the soul is pure love for Krishna. But it is covered since time immemorial by the cloud of illusion. There is no power within this world that anyone has to remove that cloud. Only the causeless mercy of Krishna, which descends through his devotees, has that power. Chirgat, in one sense, represents the complete giving up of one's egoistic designations. Before entering into the discussion of this divine lila, I would like to share a very interesting, and for many of you it may be controversial, story. Have any of you ever heard of the Rainbow Gathering? One time a newspaper reporter asked Prabhupada, "What is your definition of a hippie?" Prabhupada said, "You know better than me." Then he paused and said, "Something extraordinary." So Rainbow Gathering, every year about 15 or 20,000 hippies meet in a very deep forest in America. And in the old days, when it would get hot, they would just take off their clothes. Prabhupada, one time a person came before Prabhupada naked and said, "I am God." Prabhupada said, "Please accept my obeisances." So the person, actually his heart melted. Then Prabhupada preached to him and he became a wonderful devotee. To this day, he's one of the senior devotees of the Hare Krishna movement. But I will not mention his name. So at the grand finale, the end of this Rainbow Gathering, everyone from all the camps of miles and miles and miles around in this national forest, they all meet in one place. And we had our own camp where everything was very, to a large extent, under control. But so the devotees were leaving the last day, and the leader, one of the very big leaders, who was Dinabandhu Prabhu's dear friend from the past, his name is Fantuzzi. In Klax, he claims that he made Dinabandhu Prabhu a devotee.
No, I made him a devotee.
But Dinabandhu Prabhu claims that he made him a devotee. And naturally, we believe the version of Dinabandhu Prabhu. So he said, "Please, you have to come. You're the most spiritual people here. You have to come to this grand finale." So he took us by the hand and we came. And there was not many people there, and all of a sudden, thousands of people surrounded us. And none of them were wearing any clothes. There was just two of us, myself and a dear God brother, very faithful disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who just left his body a few years ago. His name was Gadadhar Swami. At that time he was Gadadhar Prabhu. So he was my older godbrother, and I was looking down and I said, you know, what are we going to do? They don't have clothes on. He said, I don't know, but we're surrounded. We can't leave now. So I said, well, what we should do is you give an introductory talk and you invite them all to come to New Vrindavan. And then I'll lead kirtan and then we'll get out of this place. Should I continue? So Gadadhar Prabhu began to speak some basic philosophy, and he said, the rainbow gathering is ending here today, but it's continuing at New Vrindavan. So we would like to invite all of you to come to New Vrindavan. So one person spoke a very serious question, called out so loud everything could hear. If we go to New Vrindavan, do we have to wear clothes? Very difficult. I understood if he said no, we would just be what we call booed. Nobody would dance in the kirtan. We would be utterly rejected. At the same time, he said, if he would just say, no, you don't have to, then they would all come naked. And we'd have to tell them to leave. So I was thinking, what is Gadadhar Prabhu going to say? And he folded his hands and prayed to Srila Prabhupada, please give me the words. Shall I tell what he said? He said the eternal soul is completely pure. The soul's nature is to know God and to love God. But the soul is covered with this material body and this material mind and all the illusions that come with it. According to Bhagavad Gita, this body, this mind, and all the conceptions that we're thinking were this body, they are all like clothes covering the eternal soul. So we want you to take off all your clothes of your bodily designations, come to New Vrindavan and dance and chant the holy names of Krishna. They were totally defeated. They all literally raised their arms and loudly chanted the holy name. And there was an incredible kirtan. I won't describe the details, but thousands of people were dancing in ecstasy for hours. And then we just, right after the kirtan we left, I was looking at the grass during the kirtan, playing mridanga. And hundreds of people came to New Vrindavan, all wearing clothes. So it is true that all of these designations, upadis, that I am man, I am woman, I am Indian, American, Russian. I am rich or poor, young or old. These are all superficial, artificial impositions on the true nature of the soul. And if we want to actually surrender to Krishna, we have to give up all these designations. Mahaprabhu taught, Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamala Yor Das Das Anu Das. I'm not Brahman Chachya Vaishya Shudra Brahmachari Grihastavana Prasanyas. None of these bodily designations. My eternal position is that I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of the Gopis. The Vraja Gopis, they were young, unmarried. They all desire to have Krishna as their husband. During the first month of the winter season, which is called Hemanta, they took a vow. They would worship the goddess Katyayani with the desire to attain the favor of Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains that in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells us, kamaistaisthara-hitta-jnana-prabhajyante-nyadevata, that people who have materialistic consciousness, they worship the demigods according to certain rules and regulations, according to their natures, for material benedictions. Therefore, Krishna condemns the worship of demigods. So how is it that the supreme most of all devotees, the Vrajagopis, are worshipping Katyayani, another name of Durga Devi? Srila Prabhupada explains that they were worshipping her for Krishna. If we worship for material benedictions, that is condemned. However, if we worship for Krishna, whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness must be accepted. That is Krishna consciousness. And here in Vraj Bhumi we see that people worship Lord Shiva. Sometimes they worship Hanumanji. But they're all worshiping with the single intention. Please remove all obstacles and give me pure unalloyed devotional service. Every morning, the gopis would meet and hold their hands and happily dance, singing the glories of Krishna to this place, Chirghat. At that time, where you're sitting was the Jamuna River. They would make, with their own hands, earthen deities of Goddess Katyayani. Just at the time of sunrise, they would take their bath in Jamuna and begin to perform their worship. Throughout the worship, they continuously chanted one prayer. Oh, Goddess Katyayani, please fulfill our prayer. Let the son of Nanda Maharaj be my husband. This was their constant absorption. The last day of their vow, they were here, just at the sunrise time, taking their bath in Jamuna. At that time, Lord Krishna, the son of Nanda, he came with some of his friends. On this particular day, he specially chose very small friends. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains they were little toddlers, only 2 or 3 years old. Because Krishna wanted to bring friends who weren't old enough to know what is male or what is female. So Krishna and his little friends came here. Gopis were in the Jamuna taking their bath and offering their oblations. They left their clothes on the bank. Lord Sri Krishna stole every set of clothes and climbed up upon this very Kadamba tree. Then he began to laugh. Ah, he laughed so loud. He said, please come and collect your clothes. I will not return your clothes until each and every one of you come one by one to collect them. I do not tell lies. I am not joking. Please come forward. And all the little boys were laughing and laughing and laughing. What good fun Krishna was having today. So gopis, they began to glance at one another and smile and laugh. They were very much embarrassed by the situation. However, they were utterly immersed in pure love. They were telling jokes to each other. One gopi said to another, "You go first and get your clothes. I want to see what trick Krishna is going to do to you, and then I'll go later." The gopis, they said, "Dear Krishna, we are up to our neck in water, and we are shivering due to the cold. Please do not be unfair. You are the respectable son of Nanda Maharaj. You are very well honored throughout all of Brajbhumi. Please give us our clothes back. We are your maidservants. We have given our life exclusively for your satisfaction. Please give us our clothes back. If you don't, it may be reported to the king." Lord Krishna laughed even louder. He said, "If you are actually my maidservants, then you come with your innocent smiles out of the water one by one to collect your clothes. I am not afraid of the king." So Vrijagopis, understanding that it was actually the will of the Lord that they do so, they all came out of the Jamuna. But due to their natural shyness, with their hands and their arms, they were covering the private parts of their bodies. Krishna said to them that, "Do you know what you just did? You made a big aparad to the demigod Varuna. You bathed in Jamuna water without clothes. There is only one atonement for this offense. You must immediately fold your hands on top of your head and offer obeisances to him." Now Srila Prabhupada tells us that gopis were not afraid of Varuna. However, they really did want to please Krishna, so they followed his instruction. And then Krishna very happily gave each and every one of them their clothes with a loving smile upon his moon-like face. Gopis got dressed, but while Krishna stole their clothes, he also stole their minds and their love. They could not leave that place. They just stood here, gazing at Krishna with pure, unadulterated spiritual love. Krishna told the Vrajagopis that, "I know the intention of your worship of Katyayani, and I promise you that your desire will be fulfilled in due course of time. Now you go back to the village of Braja, and we will soon enjoy in the night together." So the gopis returned home. After this wonderful pastime, Lord Sri Krishna met Balaramji and the older cowherd boys, and they were laughing and speaking so many nice things. It was very hot that day, and Krishna called them to sit under the shade of a tree. He cried out, "Oh, Stoka Krishna, Sudama, Subal, oh, Sridama, Bhadrasena, Vrishab, Ujvala, Arjuna, Gandharva, come, come under the shade of this tree. Just see
how these trees, they simply live for the benefit of others. They tolerate the heat of the summer and give us shade. They tolerate the cold of the winter and give us wood to keep warm. They're even willing to give up their bodies so we have a place to live. These trees have perfected their birth because they simply live as a sacrifice for the welfare of other living beings. Krishna said that it is the prime duty of every living being to act for the benefit of others with one's life, one's wealth, one's intelligence, and one's words. Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita that there is no one more dear to him than one who speaks my message to the devotees. And ultimately, everyone is potentially his devotee. Lord Chaitanya said, Bharata bhumite hoila manusya janma jar janma saratat kare kara para upakar. Majority of the assembly of devotees today happen to have the good fortune of being born in the land of Bharatvarsha. Mahaprabhu gave an order to you to become Krishna conscious and dedicate your lives to the ultimate welfare of others by giving Krishna consciousness to them. You can feed the poor, but the next day they're hungry. You can give them clothing. You can give them medical relief, but they're still going to grow old, get diseased, and die. You can buy them a house. All of these material types of welfare work have their value within this world, but they do not touch the needs of the soul. When the soul is forgetful of Krishna, it is in poverty. It is diseased. What are we doing for the poverty and disease of the soul? That is unlimitedly more important than the body, because the body is only a temporary designation covering the soul. So real charity, real welfare, is to enlighten the soul, to bring the soul to its ultimate supreme friend, Krishna, because only Krishna can save us. Krishna is Sudata Sarva Bhutanam. He is the supreme friend of all living beings. And anyone who brings us to that supreme friend is actually a friend. So Krishna spoke that the real duty of all of us is to preach Krishna consciousness with our life, with our wealth, with our intelligence, and with our words. That is compassion. Therefore, we should pray at this place to be an instrument in the loving, compassionate hands of Srila Prabhupada and the great Acharyas. We should also pray in this very, very holy place that we can give up our egos. The gopis, their supreme qualification was they had absolutely no ego. They simply lived for the pleasure of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told us that there is no spiritual realization higher than that of the love of the gopis. We are so conditioned, so habituated from time immemorial, pride in our particular temporary situation. We think we're learned. We think we're wealthy. We think we're expert at whatever we could do nicely. These are all impediments on the path of bhakti. These days, people have become very, very nationalistic. But actually, if an Indian, in his nationalistic ways, is always thinking in fear and hatred toward Pakistan, where do you think he's going to take birth? And vice versa. So we have to transcend these designations. Our beloved Srila Prabhupada was a follower of Gandhi when he met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. After Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur spoke to him for the first time, immediately he said, "You are an intelligent young man, you should take this message of Mahaprabhu and distribute it to the people of the world in the English language." Srila Prabhupada said, "India is a country that is subjugated by the British Empire. Who will hear our philosophy? First, most important priority is independence." Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, all these designations, who's in control, who's in power, what nationalism we may be adopted to, it is all an illusion. It has nothing to do with the eternal soul. It has nothing to do with the ultimate goal of life. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masucha. To abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to Krishna. That is the only true principle of religion. And how is that done? Man manabhava madbhakto madhyajina namaskuru mam evaishashishatyam te pratijani priyoshi. To always remember Krishna, to become his devotee, to worship him and offer his homage unto him. Krishna promises us he will take us back to the spiritual world if we simply live by these principles. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. There is no supreme more surrender than that of the residents of braja. Because they knew nothing but Krishna. Rupa Goswami explains we should follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. If we imitate them, we will fall into a abominable state of consciousness. But we must follow in their footsteps. We must live by the principles that they existed upon. No separate interest than the pleasure of Krishna. No purpose than the service of Krishna. And to us, this is what Chirghat represents. And we should pray here. Lord Sri Krishna will certainly hear our prayers in this very, very holy place. We should pray that we can forever relinquish our materialistic conceptions, our separatist desires to be an enjoyer, and give our life as the servant of the servant of the servant of his servants. Not far from here is a place called Nandakat. It is explained by Sri Shukadeva Goswami that the Vrijabhasis observed Ekadasi. And on the early morning of Dwadasi, Nanda Maharaj and some of the Gopas, they came to Jamuna to take their bath. It was not yet light out. Nanda Maharaj entered into Jamuna. A demoniac servant of the demigod Varuna considered that Nanda Maharaj was taking his bath too early. Therefore, it was a great offense. He was transgressing the proper etiquette of Ekadasi. So he arrested Nanda Maharaj and brought him to the abode of Varuna. When the gopas saw that Nanda Maharaj has disappeared in the Jamuna, they became very, very much alarmed. And what do the gopas do when any fear or danger comes into their lives? They loudly cry out the names of Krishna. This is what it means to follow in their footsteps. They cried out, "Oh Krishna, oh Balaram, Nanda Maharaj is gone." So Krishna and Balaram came, and Krishna personally entered into the Jamuna and went directly to the kingdom of Varuna. When he arrived, Varunadev was jubilant. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has come to my kingdom. What a tremendous blessing. He said, "Now I have attained perfection. Anyone who takes shelter of your lotus feet will never again have to fear the dangers of material existence. I surrender my life to you. O Govinda, please be merciful upon me. I am very sorry, but one of my very ignorant, foolish servants arrested your father." Krishna looked over, and Nanda Maharaj was sitting on a beautiful golden throne. "Is that the way you treat a prisoner?" Varuna understand the affection of Krishna for his father. So he gave him a royal reception. He said to Krishna that you are very affectionate to your father. Please take him back. We beg your forgiveness. Then Varunadev, with all the royal opulence of his kingdom, he began to worship Lord Krishna. Krishna took Nanda Maharaj back to Vrindavan. Nanda Maharaj was amazed, because his little Gopal, he was just thinking, "He's my little child." He never saw such a mighty, great demigod worshipping him. So he started telling all the other older Gopas what he had seen. Varuna gave me an ornamented golden throne just because I'm Krishna's father. This great, great, powerful demigod put his head on Krishna's feet. He was weeping and crying, surrendering to him. He was offering him artis and fine foods and jewels and everything else. So the Vrijabhasis were thinking, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they began to think in their hearts, will he favor us by showing us his spiritual abode? Krishna is the Paramatma in everyone's heart. He knows everyone's desires. So he brought his devotees to Jamuna and submerged them in Jamuna. When he took them out, he gave them the spiritual vision to see the vast, unlimited Brahmajyoti. The Acharyas explain, Krishna bathed them in the light of the Brahmajyoti. And then he revealed to them the supreme Vaikuntha planet of Krishna Loka. They saw the spiritual world. And how happy they were, because they saw that the highest abode of the spiritual sky was exactly the same as the Gokul they were living on here in this earth. Same type of trees, same type of cows. In fact, they saw the same people there. And they saw the same Krishna. So they were fully satisfied to their heart's content. But after seeing this vision, upon seeing the beautiful forms of Krishna and Balaram, their parental affection erupted in their hearts to such an extent that they just completely forgot everything they had just seen. And they loved Krishna as their innocent child. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes in this regard what Anartha, this demon servant of Varuna, represents. How we should understand it, and how we should protect ourselves from that. On the path back home, back to Godhead, that demoniac servant of Varuna represents one who thinks that they could make spiritual progress through taking intoxications. One time a devotee approached Srila Prabhupada. He said, Srila Prabhupada, last night you appeared to me in a dream. And you told me that I should take LSD. That will help me become Krishna conscious. LSD is an intoxication. Srila Prabhupada said, that was not me. That was a ghost in disguise of me. You cannot become Krishna conscious by taking intoxications. Srila Prabhupada said, there are many devotees of Lord Shiva who drink the bhang and use the chillum and smoke hashish and ganja. But that will not help them in the spiritual path. It's poison. Intoxication is a type of poison. Unless they could drink the ocean of poison, they should not imitate Lord Shiva. They should follow what he says. You see, the problem is that we're already intoxicated. The purpose of spiritual life is to become sober, to become normal again. And in that normal state, then we are supremely intoxicated with transcendental love. When we dance and chant and kirtan, sometimes we become intoxicated. That is natural. That is the pure sentiments of the soul being awakened. But materialistic intoxications simply further cover and obscure the true nature of the soul. That servant of Varuna, he was intoxicated. Intoxicated by false ego. He was thinking. He had power. He was a personal associate of such a great demigod, intoxicated by that power. He offended a great Vaishnava. This is one of the greatest of all dangers to our spiritual life. We have some high position. We have some good skills. Krishna gives us for some time some opulence, and we become intoxicated by that. And we think we have a right to offend those who are dear to Krishna. And inevitably, we fall down. So we must guard against this propensity to be intoxicated by either liquor or drugs or false pride. And the way to do that is to hold on very, very tightly to the instructions of the great spiritual masters and the Vaishnavas. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi suhishtina amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhari. If we follow the instructions of the great souls in that spirit, humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return, then Krishna will empower us to constantly chant his holy name. Recently I was speaking to someone, and that person was representing a camp of people who were very much criticizing Vaishnavas, very much trying to recruit and canvass Vaishnavas to their side. And he said, "I'm only speaking Siddhanta." So I was thinking that Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishtana is a very, very essential part of our Siddhanta. And factually, unless we live by this principle, all the other Siddhantas will simply remain in our head. They will never enter our hearts. Unless there is respect, unless there is etiquette, unless there is culture in our Krishna consciousness, then all the philosophy in the world will simply inflate our false egos and cause us to make offenses. So yes, we should study Srila Prabhupada's divine books with our heart and soul. But if we're really reading what he's saying, we will digest that message with the enzyme of this principle, to be humble like a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. In this state of mind, let us constantly chant the holy name. This time we request His Grace Dinabandhu Prabhu, the best of the Brijabasis, to speak. I would like to tell one more story. Only a second. It is very important. There was a great scholar that came to Vrindavan. very senior man. And he desired to help Rupa Goswami to edit his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And he actually found a mistake. So Rupa Goswami, he was so humble. He told this devotee, here, you take the whole manuscript and you correct it. He didn't fight or challenge him that, oh, I'm right, you're wrong. It was a technicality. All right, you correct. But Jiva Goswami was the principal disciple of Sri Rupa Goswami. So he said, what are you doing with my Guru Maharaj's book? Can you tell? He said, I'm going to correct it. Can correct the Guru Maharaj's book? There's no faults in it. He said, no, I found this fault. So Jiva Goswami explained, actually on the basis of Shastra and on the basis of the principle of pure unalloyed devotion, that everything that Rupa Goswami said was correct. So this very senior acharya came back to Rupa Goswami with a big smile on his face and gave him his book back. Rupa Goswami said, what? Why aren't you going to help me? He said, there's no problems in this book. Your disciple, Jiva Goswami, what a scholar, what a devotee, what love he has for you. He defeated me. So the next time Jiva Goswami came before him, Rupa Goswami chastised him. You are in the land of Vrindavan. There can be no ego in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a land of humility and devotion. He was a senior man. Proper etiquette is to respect him. But you wanted to show off your scholarship by defeating him. Therefore, there is no place for you here in Vrindavan. You should go. Jiva Goswami came to Nandaghat, close by. He lived in a hole that previously was the residence of a crocodile. And there he repented bitterly for his offense. He was weeping and crying and constantly chanting the holy names. One day Sanatan Goswami came by and he met Sri Jiva Goswami. He took him out of the crocodile hole and brought him back to Vrindavan. He was only the villagers were just giving him some roti flour, and he would just mix it with Jamuna water and eat them a handful a day. So his health was very bad. Sanatan Goswami, he approached Sri Rupa Goswami and said, I want to point out to you that one of the cardinal principles of Gauranga Mahaprabhu's teachings you are not following properly. No. Someone tells a senior Vaishnava like that today, what do you mean? What does she prove it? Rupa Goswami, he was the senior most Vaishnava. He said, oh, so many defects in my devotional service. Please tell me how I can improve. Which of the cardinal principles have I violated? Sanatana Goswami said, you please, what are the cardinal principles of Mahaprabhu's teaching? One is kirtan ras. Develop a taste for the chanting of the holy name. Another is Vaishnav Seva, serving the Vaishnavas. Another is being compassionate to all living entities. Jiva Doi. Rupa Goswami immediately understood that I should be more compassionate to Jiva Goswami. So he called him in, and Rupa Goswami personally embraced him and nursed him back to health with great, great affection. There are so many deep lessons to be learned through this story. Actually, Jiva Goswami did not make any offense whatsoever. It is the duty of a devotee to defend the previous acharyas, what to speak of his own spiritual master. He was doing it as a humble service. And Rupa Goswami, in the core of his heart, actually appreciated it. However, Rupa Goswami wanted to glorify the qualities of Jiva for the world to see. Even though Jiva Goswami was right by every standard, when his guru said he was wrong, he didn't argue with him. He didn't make excuses. In the core of his heart, he deeply felt, I am wrong. Guru Maharaj says I'm wrong, I am wrong. And he fasted and performed such severe penances to atone for that mistake he made that no one could possibly survive doing that today. Some of you are having difficulty living in Fogla Ashram. What to speak of Crocodile Hole? He really repented. Such humility, such faithful service. In this story, Jiva Goswami is forever glorified. And Sri Rupa Goswami is forever glorified for revealing to the world the insurmountably glorious qualities of a true Vaishnava. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jamuna Maharani ki. Sri Braj Bhumi Vrindavan Dham ki. Tvayangre Srila Prabhupada ki. Tai Gaur Premanande. Om Ajnana Timirandasya. Yananangyana chalakaya chaksurun militanjena tasmai si gurave namam. Sri chetana manuvistam stapitam jena bhutale sayam rupakaramayam tadati svaparandigam. Adadanas chenandan daividam yache puna puna srimar rupapadam bhujo. Dulisyam janma janmanim Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So I think we've been missing each other's association for the last 2 days. Yes, I know I've been missing all of your association. So somehow or other, Krishna has brought us together. So I will welcome all of you.
Jai Jai Sri Radhe.
But Akadasi, I can never leave going to one of the most sweetest places in Braj. And even this road, all your 20 buses can go, there's a road all the way up there. Though it's 2-hour journey of torture. But once you get there, you realize it was worth all that tapasya. The Badrinath of Braj is a very, very wonderful place. So completely sweet and wonderful. Completely, we think this is remote. That is really remote. There you won't even see electricity, telephone lines. I don't even think your cell phones work there. I just took Indradumna Maharaj there, so those who were following, he has one conference, and sometimes on Chakra they put his diary, so you'll hear all about the trip we went to Badrinath. What a sweet place. So I couldn't miss, every Ekadasi Braj Mandal Prakram is there, so I couldn't miss that. Yesterday we had an important meeting, so I couldn't miss that. So anyway, now we're here together. And as Maharaj said, even he knows people who've come here for 30, 40, even claim 60 years and never come to this place. Even you'll be surprised, this is maybe fifth or sixth time for me to come here. And last time I came here, I came with that person that Maharaj wouldn't identify. He refused to identify, I'm going to tell you. I came here with Madhavisa Prabhu. That's who you were talking about. Huh? About two or three Kartiks ago, he came here and he said, I want to go to those places where many people don't go. So we came here. I don't think there was anything else, just the two of us. We just came here. We walked all the way across the sand to the Jamuna. We took a wonderful bath in the Jamuna and just lay on the sand in the sun. And then we saw an amazing thing. Because many times I've seen descriptions in Goswami literature, sometimes it describes Radharani's braid just like a swarm of bumblebees. Just like a swarm of bees. So we were lying there in the sand and suddenly he said, what is that funny cloud? And suddenly we saw this cloud that just kept changing shape, and as it came closer it sort of looked just like a lady's braid blowing in the wind. It was, you know, just like here was very big and then it just sort of tailed off and it was sort of waving and just coming along the banks of the Jamuna and moving back and forth just like the braid of a young girl. You know, just going back and forth and moving along. And suddenly we realized, and they just went right over our heads, all this huge swarm of bees. So we saw this beautiful thing, just like, I've always read this description, but finally we were able to see here. Another interesting thing you can see here is I've seen many kadamba trees. But this particular kadamba tree is very special. Is even just here, there's three kadamba trees. You see down the banks away, little grove of three kadamba trees. All their branches are pointed upwards. All their leaves are pointed upwards. But this kadamba tree, all the branches are hanging down just like cloth. Isn't it? Don't you see how all the branches hang down just like cloth? I've never seen a kadamba tree like this, only this kadamba tree. I see many kadamba trees, but here, you know, they're all hanging down, just like cloth is hanging in the tree. This is a very, very incredibly special kadamba tree.
It fell on my head, that means confirmed.
One of the little seed pods. It just fell on... Which one are you? This is Janani Vas, all right. See, if you live in Mayapur, you can tell them apart, but unless you see them together, I get them mixed. So this is Janani. So Janani Vas proves head.
Another one.
It's confirmed. Sometimes they switch, you know. So this is a very, very special Kadamba tree right here on the banks of the Jamuna. So since we're sitting here on the banks of the Jamuna, we're getting such a beautiful darshan of the cool black waters of Kalindi. The Jamuna's waters are blackish. You can see from here, very beautiful blackish waters. Or just like in the beginning of the year, some of you came with Maharaj to Kumbh Mela. And there you can see Ganga's waters are coming very light colored. And Jamuna's color waters coming very dark. And then suddenly they mix in the Sangam. And you can see the mixing going on. One is coming dark, one is coming light. So here you see the cool black waters of Kalindi. We're sitting here on the bank of this Jamuna. This Jamuna is very, very special. And she has got so many names. Just like, because she's the daughter of the sun god, we were just telling there in Kelanvan, that she's the daughter of the Suryaputri, or Bhanu Nandini. On this particular planet, she first comes on top of the Kalinda mountain, therefore she's known as Kalindi, or Kalinda Nandini, or even more sweet, Kalinda Giri Nandini, Kalinda Giri Nandini. She's also very dear to Krishna, so she's known as Krishna Priya. Her waters are black as Shambarn Jamuna, so she's Krishna. And our Rupa Goswami has written a very beautiful Jamunastak that I would like to share with you. And he describes her in every verse as Aravinda Bandhu Nandini. Aravinda Bandhu. Aravinda, you know. Lotus. Aravinda Bandhu. Bandhu, you know. Kadim Bandhu. So. Bandhu means friend. So who's the friend of all the lotus flowers? I'll give you a hint. That when moon will come, every lotus will close his face. But as soon as sun will rise, every lotus opens in a beautiful smile. So friend of all the lotus, Aravinda Bandhu Nandini, the daughter of the friend of all the lotus flowers. So just the last sloka you will learn in 2 seconds. But just listen, this is such a beautiful song. Just sitting here by Jamuna, I'm just inspired. I was just thinking, I have to sing this song. Bratarantakasya patane vipatti harini prekshayopi papinopi papa sindutarani niramaduri virapya shesa chitta bandani mampunatu sarvadara vinda bandhu nandani. Mam punattu savadara rinda bandhu nandani. Harivari dariya bimandi toru kandava. Pundarika mandalodir andajali tandava. Snana kama pama roga papa samparandani. Mam punattu savadara rinda bandhu nandani. Mam punattu savadara rinda bandhu nandani. Shikaravi Mr. Jantu Duvi Pakkamadani Nandanandanam Taranga Bhakti Purva Vajani Tira Sangamavi Lasi Mangal Anubandani Mampunatu Savadara Vinda Bandhu Nandani Mampunatu Savadara Vinda Bandhu Nandani. Deepa Chakravala Justa Sapta Sindhu Venani Srimakunda Nirmitoru Divya Keli Vedani Kanti Kandali Virinda Neela Vrinda Nindani Mampunatu Sarvadara Vinda Vandu Nandani Mampunatu Sarvadara Vinda Vandu Nandani Matrena Mandalena Charunabhi Mandita Premanara Vaishnavara Varanaya Pandita Urmidor Vilasa Padmanava Paravandani Mampunatu Sarvadara Vinda Vandu Nandani Ramyatira Rambamana Gokaramba Bhushita Divya Gandavakaramba Pusparaja Rushita Nandasuno Bhakta Sangam Sangam Abhinandani Mampunatu Sarvadara Vindavandu Nandani Mampunatu Sarvadara Vindavandu Nandani Kula Paksha Malikaksa Hansa Laksha Kujita Bhakti Veda Deva Seda Kenarali Pujita Tira Ganda Vaha Ganda Janma Banda Gandani Mampunatu Sarvadara Vinda Bandu Nandani Mampunatu Sarvadara Vinda Bandu Nandani Jidvila Savari Pura Bhurva Varswarapani Kirti Tapi Durma Doru Papa Samparandani Palavindra Nanda Nanga Raga Banga Gandani Mampunatu Sarvadara Vinda Vandu Nandani Mampunatu Sarvadara Vinda Vandu Nandani Pustaburi Rastakena Nirmitomi Chastitam Vandananya Banu Devi Purvadeva Chastitam Sarva Papa Mochane Bhakti Puramasya Devi Pundarika Lochane Sri Jamuna Maharani Ki. So he says, Bratranta Kasya Patti Nevi Patti Harine. So Jamuna, as we said, she's the daughter of the Sangar. The Sangar, he had twins, Yam and Yami. Yam, Yamaraj. And Yami, Yamuna. So Yamaraj, he's the one who captures all of us to take us to the hellish punishments. But Jamuna, she frees us. So he says, Bratra Antakasi. She frees us from her brother's clutches. Huh? We're going to fall down into the hell, but she's saving us. Harini, she's the one who saves us from falling into her brother's clutches. Prekshyoti papi nopi papa sindhu tarini. Even preksh just by taking darshan. Just by darshan of Jamuna, papa sindhu tarini. We can cross over the ocean of sin just by taking her darshan. Niramaduri virapyashesa chitta bandhane. Nira Madhuri, her very, this flow, this beautiful flow of Jamuna, so sweet flow of Jamuna, it completely captures our mind. Harivari Dariya Bimanditoru Kandava. And she's flowing all around that Kandava forest. Remember from Mahabharata Kandava. So very beautiful, her stream is blowing all around that Kandava forest. Pundarika Mandalo Jat Andajali Thandava. Pundarika Mandal, Pundarik, you know, also means lotus. So Pundarika Mandalo Jat Andajali Thandava. This wagtail, one bird is there, wagtail, he's dancing on top of the... There's a whole mandal of lotus flowers in the Jamuna, and the wagtails are dancing from one to the next. Snana Kama Pama Roga Papa Sambarandani. Just by taking our bath, then huge quantities of pap are just completely blown away. Shikarabhi Mr. Dantu Duri Pakamardani. Just by taking few drops on top of our sika, then all this pap goes very far away. Nanda Nanda Nankaranga Bhakti Purva Bardani. And our love for Nandanandan. Nanda Nandan Antaranga Bhakti Purva Bardani. She increases our love for Nandanandan. Tira Sangha Mahavilasi, Tira Sangha, those who want to live just on the banks, Tira Sangha Mahavilasi, Mangalanabandhini. She captures them in the most mangal embrace, most auspicious embrace. Vipa Chakravala Justa Sapta Sindhu Vedani. She crosses over all the seven dweeps and all the seven oceans on her journey back up to the Golok. Huh? Sri Mukunda Nirmitoru Divya Keli Vedani. And that beautiful, wonderful pastimes of Mukunda, pure pastimes of Mukunda, like we were just listening from the Sri Mukha of Maharaj. She knows all of Vedani. She knows all of those pastimes. Beautiful, pure pastimes of Nanda Nandan. Without any, there's no material contamination. Sometimes people have difficulty to understand this pastime here, but there's no material contamination whatsoever. Kanti Kandali Virinda Neela Vrinda Nindani. And her blue, just see this beautiful blue. Even if you have a great big quantity of Indra Neela sapphires, Indra Neela Vrinda Nindani. Just by seeing this beautiful bluish color that we're seeing from here, that we just criticize. We do the ninda. We do Indra Neela Vrinda Ninda. We want to avoid Saru Ninda, but we're, by seeing Jamuna, we're doing Ninda of the Indra Neela. Matarena Mandalena Charunabhi Mandita. And she's beautifying this Mathura Mandal. Just see how beautiful this Mathura Mandal is with this Jamuna flowing through. Premanada Vaishnavada Vardhanaya Pandita. And she's a pandit, very expert in increasing the love of those Vaishnavas who are Raganuga Vaishnavas. She's increasing the mood of their those Vaishnavas. Urmi Dorvilasa Padmanava Padavandani. Urmi Dorvil, Urmi means these waves. Urmi Dorvilasa, those little flapping of her waves like this. What is it doing? Padmanava Pada Bandhani. Padmanava Pada Bandhani. She's worshipping the lotus feet with her waves. She's worshipping the lotus feet of Padmanava, of Lord Krishna. Urmidor Vilasa Padmanava Pada Bandhani. Rupa Goswami is just ecstatic that he's written. This is my favorite. Ramya tira ramma mana goka ramma bhushita. Her tear, we know now, tear means bank. Ramya tira. Here is very ramani, very lovely tear. Ramya tira ramma mana goka ramma bhushita. Kadamba, just like we're sitting under this kadamba tree. Now this kadamba is this flower. He's not one flower. He's whole group. Dozens of little white flowers, yellowish flowers, just like the color of Srimati Radhika. That's why they're so dear to Lord Krishna. So there's a group of them. So in Sanskrit, kadamba actually means group. But here he says, go kadamba. Which type of group? Cows group. And what are those cows doing? Rambamana. You know Rambamana? So Ramya, all the Ramya Tira, this beautiful lovely banks are covered by little white and red and yellow and black beautiful cows all going. Says Ramya Tira Rambamana Gokadamba Bhushita. So you know Bhushan, Abhushan. Abhushan means jewelry. Just like all the ladies, they're very much anxious to get jewelries. So Jamuna, she's also a lady. So, but what is her abhushan? What is her beautiful necklace? Little black and red and yellow and white cows wandering along her banks, making this wonderful sound. Ramya tira damba managokaramba. Divya gandabaka damba puspa raja rushita. Now he's kept two meanings. He again mentions kadamba, but now he's referring to the tree and the flower. He said the banks are covered with kadamba trees, and the kadamba trees are covered with kadamba flowers, and they're divya, just like English, divine. Their divine fragrance is flowing everywhere. Nanda Suno Bhakta Sangam, Sangam Avinandari. So Nanda Suno Bhakta Sang, those devotees of the son of Nanda Maharaj, they've come here today. Just like you have all come here, you're all devotees of Nanda Suno, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Are you? So Nanda Suno, a whole bunch of you have come. So he says, Sangam! All of them have come here today. So Jamuna, She's doing Abhinandan. She's welcoming you. You see, you're all used to air conditioner, so she's turned on the air conditioner for you today. Huh? You're all, most of you Bombaywalas, you know. So she's welcoming you by giving nice air conditioner today. Pula paksha malika kshahansa laksha kujita. So with their wings a little bit spread, not fully spread, but their wings just raised up, you've maybe seen swan. So pula kaksha malika kshahansa laksha, just thousands, lakhs and lakhs of swans are floating along with their wings just slightly open. And kujita, they're making this very beautiful sound. Bhakti Veda Deva Siddha Kinarali Pujita. And those Kinaras and Devas and Siddhas who are filled with bhakti, they're doing the puja of that Jamuna. Tira Gandavaha Ganda Janma Bandaranda. Tira Gandavaha Ganda. Just the smell. If you get this, we're getting so much breeze right here. But it says just if you get even a whiff of that breeze from the Jamuna, Janma Banda Randani. You can understand? Janma Banda Randani. It destroys this Janma Banda. We're trapped, as Maharaj was describing, we're trapped by this bodily identification and taking birth after birth after birth. But just by this breeze, just even a whiff of this breeze, and we're getting so much breeze. I don't know what down there. Up here we're getting whole wind of Jamuna's breeze. So Janma Banda Randani. So he gives blessing that anybody with a happy mood, just by hearing the translation, now you all have happy mood, is it? So anybody who sings this with happy mood and pure intentions, then, because this is glorifying that Bhanuputri, who's surrounded by all the devas, Pramananya Bhanuputri Sarva Deva Vestitam, Yestaviti Vardavasya Sarva Papa Mochini. This stava, Sarva Papa Mochini, will destroy all of our sins. Or Bhakti Puramasya Devi Pundarika Lochini. And it will increase our bhakti for that Pundarika Lochini. That person who has very beautiful lotus petal eyes. So this is so auspicious. You're all sitting here. We're getting the breeze of Jamuna, darshan of Jamuna, association of all the wonderful Vaishnavas. So, few little things are there that, who were all these gopis who performed this sapasya in the Hemant season? This is just Sharad, Hemant is coming. We're already very cold here, so we can't imagine. Just like we know in that Ras Lila, his last Purnima, that was Ras Purnima. So many different types of gopis were there. Different groups and classifications. It's like one year we went to Kamyavan, so we heard all about the Ayodhya Vasini gopis. All of the ladies of Ayodhya, when Lord Ram came back with Sita as his wife, every lady in Ayodhya wanted to marry Lord Ram, but he had taken Ekapatni Vrat, only one wife. So within their hearts he communicated to them that don't worry, next avatar, then you will all get your desire fulfilled. So there in Kamyavan, somehow, there's a long story, the Ayodhya Vasini gopis were there. Then we know the Srutis, they glorified Lord Krishna. And when he asked what benediction you want, he said, we want to see your home, and he took them up beyond Vaikuntha even. Beyond Vaikuntha, up to the very top to Goloka. And when they saw this Golok, they wanted to become followers of the gopis. They wanted to be, those were the Rishichari gopis. So there was a class of gopis. They're known as the Mithilavasini gopis. When Lord Ram came there and he married Sita, every girl in Mathila wanted to marry him. But again, he had only taken one wife. But he said, don't worry, next lifetime. So all of the women of Mathila, they were born in Bengal, as the daughters of one great big landowner named Kumaradev. He was a big king and landowner, but somehow by stroke of fate, he lost all of his properties and all of his wealth. And he had lakhs and lakhs of daughters. And he lost by stroke of destiny. Sometimes one becomes very wealthy and sometimes destiny, everything goes away. He lost everything. So they were just wandering here and there and here and there. Somehow they came here to Braj. And they begged Nanda Maharaj that you have so many lakhs of cows. Nanda Maharaj has 9 lakhs of cows. So you need so many people to milk those cows. I have so many lakhs of daughters. You please engage us and give us some employment in your goshala. So they all got employment in the goshala of Nanda Maharaj. But getting employment in the goshala, every day they were able to see that beautiful son of Nanda Maharaj. And so they developed this desire within their hearts. And so they were told that if you do this puja of Katyayani, here just behind us is Katyayani temple, that's still made from the balu, just made from the sand. Bhagavatam says they just took the sand and made a little didi. Says didi is 5,000 years same sand they have kept there. Hopefully we'll be able to take darshan of Katyayani Devi. And just down the banks, you see, way down you see some group of trees. This is Tapuvan. So that place, they were coming every day. They were just eating some very simple khichdi with no salt, anything. Just imagine, you know, if they brought the prasad today. I think it came. I saw it come, huh? But there's no salt in anything. But they were eating like that. And just imagine, they were young girls coming to the Jamuna, taking their bath in the cold waters, just like we were doing in Kumbh Mela. This in Ananda Vrindavan Champu, our Kavi Karnavur, he describes so sweetly. They were coming and they were all bundled up with their chadars and saris very tightly around them, and their chadars, and their breath is coming out. You can see clouds. It's so cold. You can see the breath. Little clouds are coming out of their beautiful lotus petal faces. Just like he's, because they're beautiful golden colors. He says, just like so many golden lotus flowers and the mist, you know, in the early morning on the Jamuna, there's always this little mist and fog. So just like that, they're like the lotus flowers in the mist. He describes so sweetly. And they all come, and then they're afraid to take off their chadars and go into that cold water. And somehow or other, they, each one's looking at each other, you go first, you know, and somehow or other, they take off their clothes and they touch that water, and then somehow or other, they, somebody pushes one and one goes in and the other goes in and they all get in and splash and have. He gives so sweet description. And then he describes so sweetly how Krishna came there with all his little tiny friends, and he stole all of their clothes and climbed up in this tree. And then he told them to all come out of the water, and they began to chastise him that you're the son of Nanda Maharaj, you're very respectful, how can you do this? And they gave so many arguments, they threatened, we're going to go. He said, all right, go. Go tell the king. He says, I'll wait here. He says, I'll take all of your saris and make a nice hammock and I'll just rest here while you call the king. He says, I'll just tie all your saris together and make a nice hammock and go call the king. So in so many ways, they were shivering. Their teeth were chattering. He describes so sweetly Kavi Karnapur, this pastime in Ananda Vrindavan Champu. They're just shivering and shivering, and finally they realized, and like Maharaj was saying, one was pushing, you go, no, you go. They're pushing each other, you go, no, you go. And they're all pushing each other, and the other one's slipping behind, and the other one's going in front and pushing, and finally they realize this guy's serious, and it's getting cold here. So Kavi carnivore disguised, they came out of the water, but they took their hair and they covered, because they all have beautiful long, all the gopis have beautiful long hair. So they covered the upper portion of their body with their hair. And as soon as they got up to their navel, suddenly one Sakhi named Modesty stopped them from going any further. And then the nana was sitting there and he said, this is not proper at all. That you are keeping your hair untied. You should all tie up your hair immediately. This is very improper. This is not chaste at all. And then they were all laughing. He said, no, this is not proper. So immediately they had to tie up all of their hair like this with little drops of water dripping like little pearls into the Jamuna from the tips of their hair tips like that, ding, 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 into the Jamuna, and they're all tying up their hair like this, like that. He says, now come and get your cloth. And first he made them sit on the bank and he gave them a big lecture about why they had committed a big offense. He said, they'll all sit down there on the banks of the Jamuna. And he gave them a big lecture that this is very wrong that you have bathed here naked in the Jamuna. And then he explained that there's only one way to get rid of this offense. You have to put your hands over your head like this. It means now they can't cover anything. And you have to pay, each one has to come and pay their obeisances with their hands. Stand up and pay their obeisance to Jamuna like this. So they all came like this and took their cloth, and as Maharaj so sweetly described, they couldn't leave. They were just standing there with their beautiful lotus petal eyes looking at Nandanandan, because now they had surrendered everything to him. So they couldn't leave that place. He said, why are you staying here? Now you did your bath, you did your rut, now you go home. Why are you standing here? So very reluctantly, they all walked back along, everyone casting sidelong glances backwards at Nandanandan standing here with all these little tiny boys. They were just laughing. They were just small boys. They couldn't understand everything. But they were just sitting there with Nandanandan and laughing, and they were sidelong glances back. So just where we saw that beautiful Dauji Didi, not far from there is Ramghat. We won't describe the holy limit. That, of course, is the place where Lord Balaram has done his rasa dance. It is a very, very beautiful place. And there, during the springtime months, Lord Balaram came here and he was dancing every night for 2 months with all of the gopis. One time, Varuna, he sent his daughter Varuni in the form of nice honey flowing in the branches of the trees. And Lord Balaram, he began to drink that Varuni. And he took so much Varuni. I don't know if ever after a Sunday feast you've taken lots of honey or you've eaten lots of halava and sweet rice, but you become completely intoxicated. Just like, we'll tell the story of getting intoxicated by taking prasad. This was personally told to me by Mother Jamuna. At one time in Calcutta, just old days, early 70s, Prabhupada came to India for the first time. And he went to Calcutta. That time nobody knew Prabhupada's family. But he came to Jamuna one day and said, my sister's coming. Now we all know Pishima. We've heard of Pishima. So he told, Pishima's coming today. My sister's coming. And you have to cook very nicely. Very special. My sister's coming. You have to cook very special. And he told Jamuna exactly what to cook. He told her how to cook it, and then he went in the kitchen and he cooked everything himself, as you just watched. So, then Pishima came, and so then Prabhupada and his sister, they sat down, and Jamuna was serving him, she was coming and giving more and more, and Prabhupada was just eating with such gusto, she said. That's exactly the word she used. He was just eating and eating, and he ate so much prasadam. He was so happy. to see his sister, and the prasad was so, of course he cooked it, so it was so nice prasad, and his sister was also very happy, so he was just eating and eating and eating. And finally she came in, and Prabhupada had taken all the katoris and stacked them all up in a big stack like this. So then Jamuna, she just looked at this, and she didn't know what to do. She said, Prabhupada, would you like some more? And he said, just see, I'm a good boy. I have eaten everything on my plate. And with the last katori, he threw it at the bottom of the big stack, in a whole stack. Prabhupada was so intoxicated from taking prasad. He just, like a little boy, he threw it. Big sound. And Jamuna, she was so shocked. Prabhupada was so intoxicated. Because this whole old days, she said, oh, Swamiji. That time we didn't call Prabhupada. Oh, Swamiji. So then she looked at Prabhupada's sister and said, Prabhupada, and your sister, should I give her more? And Prabhupada looked, she is so fat, if you give her anything more, she will explode. And then he smiled at his sister, you know, because she's Bengali, she didn't know anything about English, you know. So he just smiled at his sister, and his sister smiled back. And Jamuna said, oh, Swamiji. And Prabhupada said, you see, she is so fat, when we were little children, I used to climb in her back and pull her two braids, you know. And she smiled at his sister, and she smiled back. So like this, Lord Balaram, he was taking so much bruni, he became, just like you're all intoxicated with hasiras, he became completely intoxicated. So, you know, when you become intoxicated, hopefully you don't know. You don't like to move so much. So Lord Balaram, he was looking at that Jamuna. You know, when you become intoxicated, hopefully you don't know. You don't like to move so much. So Lord Balaram, he was looking at that Jamuna because it was flowing. Not only this way, it was flowing up and all over the... But it seemed so far away. So Lord Balaram, he said, he told Jamuna, come here. Iraja. So Jamuna saw this fellow, he's so intoxicated. Just like Jamuna would say, oh, Swamiji, this guy's so intoxicated. So she refused to come. This guy is completely intoxicated. Why should I go there? So then Lord Balaram, just like when you're drunk also, you become very angry. You might have seen some, I hope you don't know, but anyway, you might have seen sometimes. So Lord Balaram, alright, you're not gonna listen to me, huh? Alright. So he pulled out his plow, just like we saw such beautiful plow there with this Dauji Didi in Kelanvan. He just, bam, he began to pull the Jamuna with his plow and scratch her like this. Just like you see even here, still there's still islands here. If you go way upstream, you'll see many islands there. Even here there's islands. He scratched her into many different streams like that. And then, of course, Jamuna came and begged forgiveness. So all these wonderful pastimes happened in this place. This is such a wonderful place. You're also very, very fortunate to come here, sit on the bank of the Jamuna, listen to the description of these pastimes from Maharaj's wonderful voice, and get the association of this. This is like a whole, our Radha Krishna saying, oh, Jamuna's dry, but we see a whole river of Vaishnavas have come. Although Jamuna's not flowing here, we see a whole river of Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis are flowing here right beside this beautiful Kadamba tree where Krishna stole the garments of the gopis. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. So I made you all hungry by talking about Prabhupada cooking and taking prasad. So I think that's the next program. Is there more speakers? So next program, since I made you nice and hungry, Maharaj is going to be very merciful to us. You can put out the fire of that hunger. It's like we're always desiring. How do we must have missed one verse. There's one beautiful... Anyway, There was one verse, I think somehow I missed the translation. It is Nanda Nanda, what is that? Balavindra Nanda Anga Raga Banga Gandhani. The Jamuna, Nanda Nandan, Balavindra Nandan Anga Raga, he has this beautiful Anga Raga Banga Gandhani. She, because he's got this beautiful chandan and kesha and so many wonderful things anointing his body, that all Bangani becomes broken when he enters into the Jamuna. So Balavindra Nandan Anga Raga Ganda, Raga Banga Gandhani. She's become scented by that. It is broken up, all that chandan and sense and everything has broken up and flowed into the Jamuna. So Balavindra Nandan Anga Raga Banga Banga, it has been broken. Gandhani, she's scented with that broken pieces of chandan and sense of Nanda Nandan's body. So now we'll go satisfy our hunger with all the nice, wonderful scents and flavors and delicious prasad that is awaiting for us. Hare Krishna.